Wasn't it great to hear the joy in Linda's voice as she talked about Steve? She talked about Steve as a little boy. And then to hear the joy in her heart as she talked about the first time she saw Steve up here leading worship. This morning, we want to talk about the highs and the lows of navigating through motherhood. And let me say before we go any further, I understand as a man, I do not have the experience, in a sense, the right to speak into the lives of mothers from an experiential standpoint. Yes, I was able to observe Michelle through her pregnancy. I was able to walk alongside of her through all of that. I was able to be there at the birth of each of our three children and been able to navigate through the highs and lows of motherhood since that time. But I cannot enter into the experience as a mom with the highs and lows. But the basis in which I'm going to speak to you this morning is from the Word of God. And so I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament, which means it's in the first half of your Bible. If you start in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, small book of Ruth, and then you'll come to 1 and 2 Samuel, and we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. This morning we're going to look at a mother in the Bible. Her name was Hannah. Some of you are very familiar with Hannah, and my prayer and my hope is that God will bring new insight to you for your life out of the story of Hannah. And for those of you who are not familiar with Hannah and the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel, my prayer as well would be that God would bring the story alive, that he would not simply bring it alive, but that he would use the truths found in this story and you would be able to apply them to your life. Even though this morning's message is titled Navigating the Highs and Lows of Motherhood, in many ways, it's really about navigating the highs and lows of parenting. For some of you who are not parents, I don't want you just to tune out because the application can be for anybody as relates to navigating through the highs and lows of life. But since this is Mother's Day, my primary focus and point of application is going to be focused in for mothers. 1 Samuel chapter 1, let me just take a moment here to summarize and give you the heart of verse 1. There is a man, and he's from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name is Elkanah. And in verse 2, we see that he had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. If you know anything about the Bible at all, you quickly find out that things are not sugar-coated in the Bible. Real people, real problems, real issues. And in here, we're going to see a very dysfunctional family, a very dysfunctional marriage. It was not the way God intended. But nonetheless, Elkanah had two wives. Many individuals believe that he loved Hannah. Hannah was his first wife, but because she could not bear him children, he chose to step out of God's plan and have a second wife who would be able to bear him children. Let's pick up the story in verse 3. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Let's try to enter into Hannah's shoes, into Hannah's life situation. We don't have a lot of details pertaining to the situation that she's in, but we do have four very significant details. Number one, we know that she is married, but she has to share her husband. She has to share her husband with another woman, and her name is Peninnah. We also know that she had no children But the other woman had both sons and daughters. We also know that this other woman, Penani, would provoke her, irritate her, would sort of put it in her face. And fourthly, we know that this went on year after year after year. Now, ladies, how many of you would be interested in trading shoes with Hannah? Okay, I don't see any hands. Didn't see any hands first service. She is in a very precarious, very difficult situation. Let's continue on with the story in verse 8. We get a glimpse into what her marriage is like, or at least what her husband is like. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted?" As I read that, my first response was, typical guy, very unsympathetic, saying, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why are you brokenhearted? Why are you not eating?" In other words, the implication is, just get over it. It's really not that bad. It's going to be okay. Clearly minimizing, not entering into her situation. And then, take a look at his last question. "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Now, men, when your wife is upset, I would not use that line, okay? "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Can you just see the unsympathetic, arrogance, out-of-touch husband that he is, trying to cheer up his wife with good intentions, but just missing the mark? Verse 9, as you can see, it didn't help a lot. It says, "Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine.' 'Not so, my lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.'" What we see here is a woman who is completely undone, brokenhearted over not being able to conceive a child. Take a look at some of the phrases that are used to describe her and her situation. In verse 10, it says, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much," not some, not a little, but she wept much "and prayed to the Lord." If you skip down to verse 11, she talks about herself being in misery as she prayed to God. Verse 15, she says, "I am a woman who is deeply troubled." And then verse 16, she says, "I am praying out of my great anguish and grief." We see here of a woman who is desperate, who is in touch with her emotions, who is in touch with her pain, and she is pouring out to God her heart, her soul, in prayer. Hannah is so desperate, so upset, that she makes a vow or a promise to God in verse 11. Let me say first off, as humans, we are not really in a place to barter with the holy God of the universe. But nonetheless, Hannah was in a desperate place, and she makes a vow and promise to God. Let's take a look at this vow in verse 11. She says, "O Lord Almighty, if you will look only upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Now, how many of you, when you read that, you think, what is she talking about? Well, what does this razor, not shaving his head, have to do with anything? She understood the Old Testament Jewish law, and she was referencing a passage, a dialogue between God and Moses found in Numbers chapter 6. Follow along. It said, God spoke to Moses, speaking to the people of Israel. It says, tell them, if any of you, man or woman, wants to make a special Nazirite vow. Hannah is referencing this Nazirite vow found in Numbers chapter 6. Consecrating yourself, giving yourself totally to God. You must not drink any wine or beer, no intoxicating drink of any kind, not even the juice of grapes. In fact, you must not even eat grapes or raisins. For the duration of the consecration, nothing from the grapevine, not even the seeds, not even the skin, may be eaten. Also, for the duration of the consecration, you must not have your hair cut. Your long hair will be a continuing sign of holy separation to God. And so Hannah is saying to God, if you give me this son, I am going to consecrate him to the Lord. And I'm going to demonstrate to you that he is consecrated to the Lord by not taking a razor to his head, not shaving his hair. I am making a commitment that coincides with the Nazirite vow for my son. Hannah was desperate. She was heartbroken. She was full of anguish and grief. My guess is that there are many women, many of you here this morning, who are in anguish and in grief. Some of you are grieving the loss of a child. Some of you are grieving the loss of a mother. Some of you are grieving the loss of a relationship with a mother or a child. Or maybe you're grieving a strained relationship with a mother or a strained relationship with a child. And some of you, like Hannah, are grieving and in anguish because you want to have a child but can't. As your pastor, my heart goes out to you, even though I know I can't fully understand what you're going through. I want you to know that I understand that Mother's Day is not a day filled with joy and happiness, but is a reminder of your loss. My challenge to you this morning is to follow in the example of Hannah and to navigate through the highs and lows of life and of motherhood by embracing the pain and crying out to God in prayer. By embrace the pain, I mean don't stuff or pretend you're not hurting. Too many of us ignore, cover up, and run from the hurt in our lives. But Hannah didn't do this. She was very in touch with her pain and her grief. Isn't that true? All of us have a tendency to say, I got over that. That really doesn't hurt. That's really not painful. I'm upset about so-and-so because they never call or they don't want to have anything to do with me, but I'm okay. And we tend to move on and we tend to not acknowledge that there is deep hurt, disappointment, frustration, and pain in our heart. Hannah didn't do that. She was very in touch. That's why she was weeping. It's why she was pouring out her heart to God. She was not simply acknowledging and embracing the emotions that she was feeling at that time, but she was pouring them out to God. In fact, in verse 15, that's what she says, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. And throughout those verses, we see that she prayed, and she prayed more, and she prayed a lot. She was pouring her heart out to God. Honestly, some of you may need to have a good cry this afternoon. May need to take some time alone this afternoon to pour out your heart to God and say, God, if I'm really honest, it does really hurt. I really do miss Mom. Even though it was a long time ago. Or I miss the relationship that I wished I had with my mom. Not having a pity party. I'm not talking about having a pity party. I'm talking about coming to God, recognizing that He is waiting on you to come to Him with your pain and hurt, much like Hannah did. Now, men, let me give you a little bit of free advice. If your wife is one of those individuals that Mother's Day is not an easy day for her, don't do like Elkanah and say, it'll get better. It's not a big deal. Why are you so upset? Instead, enter in to her life, her situation. Enter into her life and her situation, her pain, her frustration, her emotions by asking her questions pertaining to that situation. I know many of us are like, oh, but she'll get more upset and I just want things to be better. Take the time to ask the questions, enter into the situation, and then listen, 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 and listen some more. But don't just listen. Take some time to pray for her. Take some time to pray with her. For some of you, husbands, that could be the greatest gift you could give your wife today on Mother's Day. To enter into what she's dealing with as a mom. Take time to understand or try to understand. Validate her emotions. Take time to pray with her. Take time to pray for her. So, how do we navigate through the highs and lows of parenting, of motherhood, of life? We embrace, we acknowledge the pain, we acknowledge that it hurts, and we cry out to God in prayer. Let's continue on with the story. Verse 17. Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And catch this. Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that interesting? Here is this Hannah, so upset that she couldn't even eat. She just weeping bitterly, pouring out her heart to God. And after she pours out her heart to God, brief interaction with Eli, she's able to eat. Her appetite returns, and she is not downcast anymore. Isn't that amazing how it works? When we come before God and we say, "God, you are the only one who can do anything about this situation." That's where Hannah was at. That's why she was so desperate. She was saying, "God, this is your situation. You're the only one that can enter in and bless me with the child." You and I need to come before God. Month of May is a month focused on prayer and fasting. Why do we have a month set aside for prayer and fasting? So that we can do like Hannah. We can come to God with what's on our heart. And we can say, "God, your will be done in my life. I'm acknowledging that this situation is too big. That humanly speaking, I can't do anything about my circumstances." It's what we need to do. Individually, it's what we need to do as a church family. Say, "God, there are some situations in my life that are too big." We need to submit them to God. And as we submit them to God, as we entrust them to God, His peace can begin to reign in our hearts. Doesn't mean that we won't be dealing with hurt, frustration, or disappointment. But in the midst of the hurt and the pain and the disappointment, God can bring a peace, which is what Hannah was experiencing. Let's continue on with the story. Verse 19. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Verse 21. When the man Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him, which many believe was about 3 years of age. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her. Young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you, praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. God answered Hannah's prayer by giving her a son who was named Samuel. Look what Hannah did. She gave up what she wanted most, her son, and she presented him to Eli so that he could serve in the house of the Lord. the Sensikin principle to navigating through the highs and lows of parenting, of motherhood, is to dedicate your children to the Lord rather than holding on to them. This isn't something we do once and done when they are little. This is an attitude that flows from our hearts every day. Dedicating our children to the Lord means we hold our children in open hands. It means we don't say, the children are mine. It means we recognize they're a gift from the Lord and we hold on to them with open hands. Dedicating our children to God means that we live from a place where we see ourselves as stewards, not owners. As a steward, we parent for the glory of God. We don't parent so that our children can bring us satisfaction and gratification, so that we can feel good about ourselves and the choices that they're making. There's a much higher calling to parenting. You and I have been given children. God has purposes and plans for those children. We parent for the glory of God so that the eternal purposes that God has for your children can be accomplished. And that only happens as we understand that we're stewards, that our children are a gift from God. It's not about us and what we want for our children. It's about raising them in such a way that God's sovereign and eternal purposes can be accomplished in their lives. If we view our children as ours, then we get to determine what they should do and where they should go in life. But as stewards, we keep pointing them to God and encouraging them to look to Him for guidance and direction. Isn't it exciting to realize that God knit your children together and He has specific purposes and plans for them? That He knit our children together in our mother's womb. Take a look at these verses that speak to God's purposes and plans for individuals' lives. First, we see in the Old Testament, referencing Jeremiah, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." God could say that about any one of us. Before I formed you, Skip, in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as, maybe not necessarily be a prophet to the nations, but God has specific assignments waiting for Skip, for each one of us. Now, take a look at Ephesians 2:10. The New Testament also speaks of this. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has knit us together in our mother's womb because He has specific assignments and purposes and plans of eternal value and significance. As parents, we have the privilege to shepherd, to parent, to guide, to model our children so that what God has purposed for them can be accomplished. Point number two, how do we navigate through the highs and lows of motherhood? Dedicate our children to the Lord rather than holding on to them. Lastly, we want to look at Hannah's prayer of praise in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I want you to think about what we've just read. I want you to think about the life and story of Hannah and be able to make connections between these verses and her life. She says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverances." What do you think she's talking about when she says, "For I delight in your deliverances. My mouth boasts over my enemies"? Who do you think she was referencing as an enemy? The other woman. And she was saying, look at how God has brought deliverance. Look at what God has done. She says, verse 2, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Verse 3, "Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by Him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warrior are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. You think she was remembering back to that time when she was in the temple crying out to God, when she had stumbled in life, being brokenhearted, and she was armed with strength, strength from God. Verse 5, those who were full hire themselves out for food. Those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princesses and he has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. In this prayer of praise, we see that Hannah is praising God for his sovereignty. By the sovereignty of God, I mean that God is orchestrating the affairs of this world and that he has a purpose and plan in what's happening. That things are not just happening by happen chance. That there is a God who is Lord over the heaven and the earth. As it says in verse 8, for the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. Or in verse 6, the Lord brings death. The Lord brings life. Clearly God has ordained when individuals are to be born. Clearly has numbered our days. They have been predetermined. The God of the universe is sovereign. He is in control. He is working his plans and purposes. And Hannah is at a point in her life where she's looking back on her life. And she's saying, wow, God was brilliant. God was working a plan. Look at the story that God has written with my life and with Samuel. In the middle of it, it was foggy. It was cloudy. She was overwhelmed with emotions. But now, as it's played out, she's come to a point in her life and she's saying, oh my goodness, look at the plan that God has brought about. Here again, I don't understand how a sovereign God brings about his purposes and plans to fruition when you and I are making choices and have free wills. I don't understand how God was working out his timetable for Hannah and for the birth of Samuel. I mean, clearly God had a purpose for Samuel and had a time for him to come and to serve the nation of Israel. I don't understand how our choices mesh with the sovereignty of God. But clearly we see both in Scripture, and that God, in the midst of our choices, is working out his purposes and his plan. And so how do we navigate through the highs and lows of life? We trust in the sovereignty of God. We trust that he is working out a plan. Point number 3 in your notes. Even if it doesn't make sense to you at this time. In the lows, we trust God. We trust that even in the midst of the painful situations, it's not the last chapter. We hold on to the fact that just like God was writing a story through the life of Hannah, that God is writing a story through this difficult and painful chapter in our life. And then through the highs, we don't pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, good thing I made the right choices. Good thing I persevered and look what's happened. We say, God, you are so gracious. Let's face it, parenting is sort of scary. A lot of unknowns. But think about it. What would it be like to parent if there was no God, if there wasn't a sovereign God and his purposes and plans weren't being accomplished? If there was no God and everything happened by chance, parenting would be really scary. But as you and I navigate through the highs and lows of parenting, we have the hope and the confidence that God is working his plan for the good of our children and for his glory. I want to encourage some of you to take a moment this afternoon and to think about What does it mean to be dedicating our children into the hands of a sovereign and holy God? We're not just dedicating and trusting our children to the wind and say, whatever happens, happens. No, we say, God, you're a holy God of the universe. We're entrusting our children. We're entrusting their lives. We're entrusting their choices into your hands and trust that you're going to work through their choices to accomplish your purposes and plans. Some of you need to take time this afternoon to think about the sovereignty of God and your children. For some of you, at this point in your life, you have regrets. You think, oh man, I wish I would have been a better dad. I wish I would have been a better mom. I wish I wouldn't have made this choice. But here's the good news. The God of the universe isn't boxed in by your little mistake. Sure, there's consequences, and maybe it wasn't little. But the purposes that God has for your children can be accomplished apart from you as a parent. Is that freeing? Is that cool? The God of the universe can use even your mistakes as part of what he has purposed for your child. Let's just take a moment right now to quiet our hearts and to reflect on Hannah's life and what we can learn from her. Take a moment to think about what does it mean for you to embrace the pain and to cry out to God in prayer? What does it mean to you at this point in your life? Maybe you even have grown children. What does it mean to be dedicating your children to the Lord as a heart attitude every day rather than holding on to them? What does that look like for you? What's God asking you to do as it relates to your children as you continue to hold them with open hands? What does it mean for you to trust in the sovereignty of God, to trust that he is working out a plan, even if it doesn't make sense or look to you at this time? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take your written word that you have recorded in 1 Samuel, that you would take the truths from the life of Hannah, these truths that we see throughout the scriptures, not just in this story. We pray that you would take these truths, these principles, and that you would root them into our hearts, so that we would live from lives that are trusting you and your sovereignty, pouring our hearts out to you and trusting our lives, our children, into your hands. All for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.